everybody. Thanks for listening to the Adulting is Easy podcast. This is Lauren. I manage the Adulting is Easy blog and podcast, which both can be found at realadultingiseasy.com. I'm joined today again by my husband, Eric.
Hello.
Our goal for today is to make adulting a bit easier for our listeners by explaining a personal finance topic, since managing money is indeed a big part of adulting. Today, we're going to discuss budgets. Eric, this was actually a topic that you requested. Why was that?
Right. Because when I think of personal finance, budgeting is one of the first thing that comes to mind, almost as one of the fundamental building blocks of personal financial literacy.
Yes, definitely. It's one of the first steps when you start taking a look at your finances. You want to look at your budget or your cash inflows and outflows. So a lot of times popular opinion suggests that budgeting is restrictive and it can take the fun out of life. However, if done right, budgeting can give you confidence and freedom. So we're going to cover today 9 different kinds of budgets. Everyone should be able to find one that works for them, one that fits with their values and their personality. So then we're going to tell people about our budget, and just a hint to everybody, something to look out for. Ours is kind of a hybrid approach. So first, as I like to do, let's start with the definition of a budget. According to Google, it is an estimate of income and expenditure for a set period of time. Eric, anything to discuss before we get into these 9 different types?
No, I don't think so. But when I think of budget, it's what's going to work for you as the key thing, because you have to, not necessarily like doing it, but you have to be true to yourself and do your budget on a monthly basis and stick with it.
Right. It's kind of like a diet or something, right? If you do something that's not going to work with you and you're just miserable all the time, you're going to stuff your face.
And kind of hence why we took a hybrid approach to budgeting.
Yes. Yep. So the first one we're going to talk about is called the traditional budget. And first, what you do is you add up and list your income sources, and then you're going to list and add up your expenses. Hopefully, once you subtract your expenses from your income, you're left with a positive number. If you're not, stop and get your ish together immediately. So then once you have this list, you want to set goals for what you want to be spending in each category. So this is going to require some detail orientation. Anything on the traditional budget, Eric?
That sounds like pretty straightforward.
Yep. So number 2 is the reverse budget, which is sometimes also referred to, I saw as I was researching, as the pay yourself first budget. So first you want to set aside a percentage of your income that will go to savings and retirement. Then you allocate funds to your expenses, rent, food, utilities, etc. Whatever is left over is what you have discretion to spend. So again, this is another one that's going to require some detail orientation, and it's pretty similar to the traditional budget, really.
Yeah, so far these are both incorporated into our personal budgets that we use.
So number 3, zero-based budget. This is basically exactly what it sounds like. You're going to have $0 left at the end of the month. This does not mean that you spend everything you make and no more. What it means is that you, quote unquote, pay your savings account and retirement accounts first. So this method requires a ton of detail orientation, more than the traditional or the reverse, which we just covered. It leaves little room for error. What you are allowed to do, though, from what I was researching, is you are allowed to have like a, quote unquote, miscellaneous category as you're going into the month. That one seems like too much work for me personally.
Well, I think our miscellaneous category is basically our Amazon category.
Well, yes. And we have money left over at the end of the month, right? Or we don't. Either way, it's not a zero-based budget.
Right.
Because it's not a zero at the end.
Right.
It's more of a traditional, this is getting a little ahead. How I started when I first started budgeting was the traditional method. What do I spend? What do I think I'm going to spend? And then I kind of started to reverse that and set goals for the savings and everything. And that's what we've done together as well.
Right. I mean, basically, on a month-to-month basis, our checking account in which we operate in grows, right?
Right.
And that's because we don't have every dollar accounted for somewhere.
Right. Exactly. Because I think that would be insane. even me, and I kind of like this stuff. So number four then out of nine is the envelope budget. So this one's similar to zero-based budgeting. The only difference is that it's done with envelopes and cash. So you're supposed to label an envelope for each budget category. And then when you're ready to make a purchase from that category, you bring that envelope of cash with you to spend from there. So if we were going to go to the grocery store, you grab your grocery envelope and you spend. And when that envelope, it runs out and you still need groceries maybe towards the end of the month, you've got to go grab your entertainment budget or whatever and throw it into your groceries budget.
What decade is this?
I know. This is, honestly, this might be a Ramsey thing. I'm not sure, but yeah.
Seems like way too much work for me. Talk about the zero-based budget. This one seems like a lot more work.
It would be, if you think about it, really eye-opening, right? It also just straight up doesn't sound safe to me, but it would be amazing to see the actual cash leave. And
I've always wanted to see how much money I have in my hand at any given time. It also might make you spend less if you think about it. Like, if I'm going to the store and going to buy a new golf bag, and that golf bag is $250. If I have $250 cash in my hand, I might think twice before spending it versus if I just got a credit card swipe, you know, makes it maybe a little bit more difficult to hand over that cash. So I can see the pros of this method for definitely. Sure.
Also easier to get mugged probably, but.
But it's not saying you just like fill it around, you know, when you go to Publix, you break out your, you know, your racks, you just take in what you need, maybe leave the rest in your car.
Great. That's safe. So number five, then the balanced money formula. This is a really, really popular one, and I tend to like it. It's also referred to as the 50-30-20 budget. So using this method, you will allocate 50% of net income to necessities, 20% for financial goals, and 30% on discretionary spending. So all you need to be able to do is differentiate a want from a need. So if you're spending 40% on wants, it's time to tighten things up, right? Your wants are going to be your 30%, needs are going to be your financial goals and your necessities. So note that you can change the percentages and just you keep calling it. It's still the balanced money formula. And this is actually kind of where we've ended up over time. It's just our percentages are a little different.
Yeah, one of the challenges I see with this is differentiating between a need and a want and blurring the lines. I could see quite a few categories. I mean, because like food, need obviously, right? Eating out, maybe a want.
That's a want. That's definitely a want. That's 100% discretionary.
I don't know if I have the self-discipline to do this, but it's okay because I got you.
So. Well, actually, you'll find out later here as we go that you do have the discipline to do this.
Without even knowing it. Look at that.
Look, so the next one here is called the 60% solution. I like this one too. This was something that I had never heard of before. So in this case, 60% of income goes to committed expenses. So this is actually a little different than the balanced money formula. Committed expenses, food, clothing, household expenses, insurance, bills, taxes. So you can kind of, that's where you get to kind of say what's a necessity and what's not. What's committed, right? Mm. I would say that you and I have committed to a vacation budget. Mm, and that's a committed, quote unquote, expense.
Right, but maybe not a necessity, right?
Right, exactly. Mm. So the remaining 40% then is divided equally in four ways. That would be 10%, Mr. Engineer. Retirement, retirement, long-term savings, short-term savings, and fund money. Pretty simple. Easy to remember.
I like it.
80-20 plan, even simpler, but also kind of builds on that 60% solution. So, or the balanced money formula. You don't differentiate between a want and a need here.
All right.
You save 20% and spend everything else. This is good if you're not, it's good if you're not detail-oriented.
Yeah.
And use a debit card, probably.
Yeah. If you make a lot of money, you're going to be spending a lot of money, I guess.
All right, here we go. The second to last budget that we're going to talk about today is called the no budget. First, you need to know how much money you typically spend on bills and other expenses. Then you make sure your account has at least that amount of money in it. Then you're also supposed to automate your bill pay using this budget. So use a debit card in this scenario because it requires monitoring your account and learning to tell yourself no so that you only use what's available to you. That's why it's the no budget. I couldn't quite tell if it's because you have to tell yourself no or because it's like not having a budget at all. But either way, it's called the no budget. Good if you're not detail-oriented either.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I think when I was in college, this was my approach to budgeting.
Yeah.
The no budget. I just, whatever money I had, I spent.
Yes. And if you can, and if you automate your 401k and you automate savings and stuff like that, it actually can work and it still can be kind of a productive way to do things. Hmm. So the last one here, I really think this one, I've listed it separately, but it kind of could go with any of the other ones. So once you account for your necessities and expenses, this method says you should budget for things that you value and enjoy, like giving to charity, buying coffee, or trying expensive wines in our case. The reasoning is that if you budget for things you enjoy, you'll be more likely to stick to the budget. I feel like this one speaks to you, and this is why you wanted to do this podcast.
Well, why do you feel that way?
Because of what you said earlier.
Yeah. Definitely got a budget for golf.
Yep, exactly. Nails for me. So with so many options for budgeting, there's really no excuse for not having one. You could even start with one method and move on to others until you find the one that works for you, which, as we've talked about a little bit, that's what we've done. Again, we started out with the traditional method to ensure that we wouldn't be spending more than we were making. Certainly once I had met Eric and we joined our budgeting forces together, we switched to that reverse budgeting approach, and that was basically to make sure that we were saving probably more than we would in a traditional method. So now we use our own version of the balanced money formula. We contribute to our retirement accounts, our 401ks, separately. We each do that. Eric contributes to our non-retirement brokerage account, and I contribute to a real estate savings account. So that's kind of all what goes into our savings bucket, and our savings amount to 40% of our income right now. Remember, in the balanced budget, it's typically 20%. That's that 50, 20, 30, 20% being savings. We do about 40%. So we have a spreadsheet with a list of our expenditure categories and what each one costs us each month, which adds up to about 40% of our joint income. So we both contribute equally to these quote-unquote commitments. I borrowed that word from the 60% solution because they're really not fixed expenses and they're really not necessities. But this includes mortgage, utilities, food, gym membership, entertainment, vacations, and gas. Right?
Exactly.
So again, that's the bucket. If you're looking at the typical balanced money formula, that 50, 30, 20, that's kind of your 50% category. A little variation on that because we include vacations as kind of a fixed savings. So note that our values reflect vacations, wine, entertainment, eating out, going to shows. So the remaining 20% are discretionary spending. Really is something that we don't handle jointly. That's golf for Eric, pedicures for me, clothing, gifts, etc. We pay for those on our own credit cards, and we usually don't spend quite all of that and end up reallocating into savings or investments like Roth IRAs. Would you say that's an accurate representation of our budget?
I think it's pretty spot on.
Cool. So again, our budget breaks down as follows: 20% for discretionary, 40% for savings, and 40% for commitments. So we just recently signed up for Mint. We haven't quite started using it yet. I've got to get Eric's accounts in there. So far, it is pretty interesting, and I do really like it. Especially, it sends notifications if there's something weird, like a big expense or a big deposit. And I kind of like that part of it. So we'll get on that a little bit more, and we'll have to let you know on Twitter and Facebook how that's going at Adulting Is Easy. So Eric, in closing, how do you think this one turned out? You've been wanting to do this podcast for a really long time.
Yeah, I got to admit, I learned a lot during this podcast. I didn't realize that I see our budget as rather simple, but it seems like it's rather complex in the different types of budgeting that it encompasses.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And it took some iterations for us to get to this point. And I think that would be a good takeaway for listeners is that, you know, just start with one of them, the one that intuitively makes the most sense for you. And once you get more and more comfortable with it, you can start making your own tweaks and kind of customizing it for yourself.
Yeah.
So you can find the blog on this topic. It's called Adulting with Budgets. It was posted on December 5th, 2019 on our website, realadultingiseasy.com.
You can support our Patreon at patreon.com/adultingiseasy.
You can also email us at realadultingiseasy@gmail.com. Thanks again, everyone, for listening. Hopefully, we've made adulting a little easier for you.